I'd like to answer a question that was asked at the beginning of the session about the economics of jazz. One of the problems in terms of musicians who work like Toshiko and who I dare say that many of you didn't recognize either Tony Scott, who was playing clarinet and baritone on that, or Gene Quill, who was playing alto, both wonderful musicians who've never gotten the kind of attention that they should. The wonderful trombonist who played on several of the shows, Jimmy Cleveland, is a name that he's one of the best trombonists I know. And as far as jazz is concerned, as you could see, he could play anything. But nobody really is aware of him as a special person. He's certainly not starving. He does a lot of work out in Hollywood and playing for pictures and so forth. But like many other musicians, Shorty Rogers and a lot of other guys who play with equal facility, Roger Kellaway, they kind of get lost in playing commercial music to earn a living. One of the problems that we've had has been that we have not provided places where these musicians could be heard and could be on a regular basis. Someone mentioned Washington, D.C. I grew up here, and there were very few places that one could perform in terms of nightclubs and theaters. And compared to what was going on in, say, Chicago or in New York or in Pittsburgh and some other places. So these are things which contributed in early days to the economic problems that many musicians had. But the problems, I'm going to answer your question as to what's happening today, are even more serious. It's difficult for musicians to earn a living playing jazz because they have to teach, they have to do many things which may or may not be what they were trained for. And but one has to eat, and one would perhaps rather not wash dishes or drive a cab. And so one plays in department stores and in banks and all kinds of exotic venues just to earn a buck. There's nothing new about this, but one of the problems, and I think that the National Endowment was approaching some answers to that. Unfortunately, that's up for grabs at the moment. But one of the things the National Endowment did was to provide grants so that musicians could meet, could study with other musicians, and could get into the swim of things. They could get to know and get known by people who could hire them ultimately. I met many musicians in New York who came through Jazzmobile, who came through various organizations, who did things so that these were young musicians who nobody, when John Faddis first came to New York, he was, everybody knew him because he was Dizzy Gillespie's protege. But outside of being able to hit high notes, he didn't get too many opportunities to develop the style that we now know Faddis can play. It took a long time, a whole lot of going in many directions for him to do that. There's no easy answer. The jazz, those of you who support jazz, if you go to hear the people that you support, if you buy the records, that all helps. But the economics are such that many people who play very well don't get an opportunity to record to the extent that they should. Therefore, you don't hear from, therefore they don't work in places other than small clubs that hold maybe 50 or 60 people at a time. Therefore, they can't be paid a lot of the kind of money they would be working in, they would be making if they were working in a place that held 500 people. Think about the economics of that. If you can charge 500 people $5, then you got a possibility of paying a band a salary. If you only got 25 people to pay that $5, the band's not going to make very much money. So there is money that supports all kinds of music. There are places that are being developed by musicians and by people who want to have jazz played in a lot of places. It's not coming along fast enough to help most people, unfortunately.